Arise now, children of the Lord, and wake the dawn with praise. Lift up your voice and sing to him who shows his power to save. Lift up your voice and sing to him who shows his power to save. So let us come with harp and lyre, our thankfulness to raise. Your love, O Lord, your faithfulness attunes our hearts for praise. Your love, O Lord, your faithfulness attunes our hearts for praise. Exalted is our triune God, so far above the clouds. His glory shines throughout the earth. To him all nations bow. His glory shines throughout the earth. To him all nations bow. The dark of doubt and fear and sin have passed away like night. A new day dawns, salvation comes, the love of Christ shines bright. A new day dawns, salvation comes, a new love of Christ shines bright.
We give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. We sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Would you be exalted in our midst today, and even above the heavens? Would your glory be over all the earth? Would we come to you this morning with psalms and with hymns and with spiritual songs, awakening the dawn with praise? And may we exalt the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose love shines bright among the nations and draws us together so that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. All these things we ask in his glorious name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. We continue our worship by reading together our responsive psalm. You'll find that on page 149 in the back of your hymnal, Psalm 149. As we continue to build this giant crescendo of praise that will end next week when we read Psalm 150. Psalm 149. Let us read God's word responsively. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp.
For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. As we consider these words, let us now come before the Lord with our own prayers of confession and supplication. Let us pray. Gracious Holy Father, what a comfort to know that you take delight in your people and that you crown the humble with salvation. May we come today humbling ourselves. May we come before you confessing our sins. Father, our sins are great. Whether in thought, word, or action, forgive us for not praising and worshiping you as you have commanded. In response to the numerous ways you've helped us during even this past week, forgive us for our pride and for our self-sufficiency, and forgive us for not fighting your battles, as we see here in this psalm, against the sin that indwells us, against the lies of this age, against evil, injustice, and oppression. Father, may you assure us of our forgiveness in Christ. May we turn away from our sins. And would you put a new song in our mouths, a song of praise to the one who forgives through the blood of his Son. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, it is our great privilege to give the Lord his tithes and our many gifts.
Thank you.
gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for providing everything that we need for our bodies and our souls. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the King of glory. And thank you for leading us to come to faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We pray that these gifts and the givers alike would spread the good news that Jesus Christ is Savior. We pray, Father, that you would help us to continue to worship you today. And would you help our lives to be living sacrifices, live before you, so that others might see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue our worship this morning, let's sing together number 689, Be Still My Soul, while our young children may be dismissed for children's church as we sing number 689, Be Still My Soul.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave well your God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul.
And you may be seated. I want to thank Sally Cathcart for playing the piano for us this morning. She's filling in for her mother, who is traveling from Indianapolis with her mother and sister and niece. They went to a big band concert last night, and I think they're listening in, but they'll be back with us later on in the week. And please continue to pray for Shirley and Mike Pennington, as they've been sick the past couple of weeks as well.
It's our privilege now to turn our attention to God's holy word. And we'll begin today in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 22. Isaiah 60, 1 through 22. Another one of these canticles or Bible songs. This might be one of the most famous of the non-canonical, or the non-psalm songs that we have in Scripture. I know that as a boy growing up, I sang several versions of this in children's choir, and you may have as well. The first line is very familiar to us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Such hopeful words to hear in the midst of the present darkness of our world today, to know that the light of Christ is shining bright. Before we hear from God's word, though, let's pause and ask his blessings upon the reading and the preaching of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering in your name today to hear your word. Would you speak, O Lord, in the quietness of this hour? Open our ears that we might be refreshed in the good news of your kingdom. Help us, Father, not only to hear, but also to believe and to obey your holy word. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 22. We're really focusing our time this morning on the first three verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. Who are these that fly like a cloud, and like doves to their windows? For the coastland shall hope for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has made you beautiful. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gates shall be open continually, day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you, and all who despise you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations, you shall nurse at the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. And instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord,
In its time, I will hasten it. Thus ends the hearing of the reading of God's holy word from the Old Testament. And if you would turn with me to the New, chapter 21, verses 22 through 27. Revelation 21, 22 through 27, as we see the fulfillments of these words in the new heavens and the new earth. Revelation 21, 22 through 27. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring it into the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Thus ends the hearing and the reading of God's holy word. May he be gracious to us this morning and add his richest blessings upon it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need to hear this song from Isaiah today as he sings about the light, the glory of God, and how it has risen upon us as God's people. Because today it seems as if we're living in a land of deep darkness. For the Jews who heard these words, they were facing dark, dark times. They were facing the defeat of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and the defilement of their holy land, while they themselves were facing 70 years of exile in the land of Babylon, a Gentile land, an unclean land, a land of idolatry, a land of violence, a land of immorality. And friends, in many ways, you and I, for the first time in our lives, may feel more like exiles in our own land and our own experience than ever before. We may feel like strangers and aliens. We may echo David's complaint in Psalm 11. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Doesn't it seem that the foundations are being destroyed as we're watching? Whether it's the rule of law, as we see people just ignore police on the streets and take whatever they want out of stores. Maybe it's the dignity of all human persons, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. And yet we see certain states in our union vote heinous and macabre and unimaginable laws to allow abortion at any stage, even at the moment of birth. Even our own state legislature failed by one vote to prevent 98% of abortions in our state. Not to mention gender confusion in our land, though our Lord is quite clear that he has made us male and female. You know, one of the first foundation stones our Lord put in place is marriage and the family. Since the sexual revolution of the 1960s, and really before that, this foundation has cracked in our society. Now it's almost to the breaking point. How about our divine purpose for being here? To be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it, to do our work with a mighty hand, to glorify our God. The dignity of work, all these things, whether we're working outside the home or raising our families, being faithful members of churches and serving our communities, representing Christ in those things. These ideas aren't just ignored, but openly mocked and scorned as old-fashioned, outdated, and even dangerous. These truly are dark times. Maybe it's a personal darkness you're going through. Our family this week dealt with an unexpected death, and I want to thank you for your prayers and concerns and calls and texts as the Lord was with us during that time. It's amazing how his hand moved through all of it, and I want to share that with you at some point. Maybe you're in a cloud of grief today. Maybe it's the darkness of sin that separates you from a holy God. Maybe it's the darkness of despair. Life's circumstances can become very difficult for all of us. Whatever it is, take heart. You are in the right place today. We have good news. Just as our God spoke out of the darkness and said, "Let there be light," and there was light, he has sent his light, his own Son, the light of the world, so that we be encouraged by his light, empowered by his light, and emboldened by his light. Encouraged by his light. We are encouraged by the light of his presence. Listen to these words in verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Yes, this is God's promise to those sitting in darkness. Just like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, the Lord has appeared as cloud by day and fire by night to lead the way. He is present among us. That we feel like we're in alien or even enemy territory, never forget that the Lord is in our midst right here and right now. He's promised that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. For he is our light and our salvation. Whom then should we fear? The Lord is the strength of our lives. Of whom shall we be afraid? Friends in Christ, yes, be concerned over the cultural shifts in our country and in Western society. Be concerned that the Christian church has lost influence in our communities, that our children are tempted not only by their own hearts, but by the philosophies and worldviews of this age, peddled not only in classrooms, but also via TikTok and YouTube and Instagram. Yes, be concerned that the foundations are crumbling, and in God's grace, work to bolster and strengthen them. By the way, do you know the number one way we can help? I'm more convinced of this every single day. Obviously, prayer. There's nothing that will replace prayer. And asking God's blessing upon our nation, upon our families, upon our churches. But another way that we can do that is by encouraging biblical marriages and families. To pray for God's blessing upon our couples, that he would protect them. So that the marriage bed is not defiled. They would be faithful for a lifetime. That husbands would gently lead and love their wives as Christ loved his church and gave himself up for her. That wives would lovingly submit to their husbands and be godly wise helpmeets. That they would lead their children together and raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and have them together on the family pew. That they would pray with and for them and teach them the Bible and the doctrines of our faith and help them to develop a distinctly Christian view of the world. That our young men and women would seek to be married to godly Christian spouses, that they wouldn't delay, but would remain pure in heart, word, and conduct. This is what we need to pray for our children, for our grandchildren, for the covenant children in our midst, and that those who are single, either for a season, or for longer, or for a lifetime, will live their lives united to Christ, serving him first, allowing him to lead. You see, God's light is in our midst. We have the very light of his word. Let's follow it in our homes. Let's follow it in our hearts and show others what the love of Christ looks like. Folks, the world is desperate for the sign of a loving family. They all know they need it, even if they don't think they do. And we can demonstrate that love in our families and in our homes and in our faithfulness to Christ and to his church and to his word. Well, there are other things that kind of concern us. Sometimes we think we're alone because we're a small church in a small town. Not even a town, really. You know, we do have lots of things now. We have got the corner on all kinds of dollar stores, don't we? Family Dollar, Dollar General, Dollar Tree, we got it all. One day I hope we have a Piggly Wiggly. That's what I really am hoping and praying. If we got a Piggly Wiggly and a Sphinx, we'd be rolling in it, wouldn't we? We would be. I'm just teasing. But sometimes we can feel a little bit insignificant because those places won't even put stores here. Sometimes the times and circumstances look dark all around us. Let's never forget the prayer that Elisha prayed for his servant when they were surrounded by enemies. Oh, Lord, please open his eyes so that he may see that those who are with us are more than those with them. You and I do not need to be afraid of the dark. Because the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, is with us, and he is on our side. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus, the Son of Man, the light of the world, was lifted up on Calvary's cross. He endured the darkness of our sins, cast upon his back the darkness of his Father's wrath, so much that the sun stopped shining from the sixth to the ninth hour until he cried, "It is finished." But friends, darkness did not win the day. No, even before the first light of day, on that first Easter morning, the sun arose. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. Because the Son of Righteousness is risen with healing in his wings. And he has not left us alone to do battle with the darkness. He's given us his Holy Spirit. His glory has descended upon us and has brought life and light to our lives, a light that will never be extinguished. And here's the best news. His light will lead us all the way home, where there will be no darkness. We read about it in verses 19 and 20. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Yes, once and for all, our Heavenly Father, through the work of his Son, will destroy all the works of darkness, and there will only be light. He will dwell among his people, and we won't need a glory cloud or fire by night. There'll be no night there, no darkness, no gloom, no sadness, no death, no despair, no mourning, because Jesus himself will be there, wiping away every tear, drying every eye, and the city has no need of sun and moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its Lamb is the Lamb. That's right. He'll be so glorious, so radiant, that we will bow down and give him the glory for the great things he has done. Oh, friends, what hope. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Christ's everlasting light is our future. That's where we're heading. But folks, there's work to be done. We're to arise. We're to shine right now. Jesus calls us the light of the world, and he empowers us by his grace to shine. That's our second point. As we reflect his light here on the earth, look at with me at verses 2 and 3. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness for the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. That's right. We're to be distinct from those who are sitting in the darkness, from the thick darkness among the peoples. And the question is, are we? Are we distinct from this dark, dark world? Or has the gold grown dim in our lives? Are we fading back into the darkness? Are we just like our pagan, non-Christian friends and neighbors? And the way that we think, and what we say, and what we expect, and how we act? Friends, again, this is urgent. We need to heed the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2. We're to do all things without grumbling or disputing, that we may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, and here's the key, among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. You know, we complain about the breakdown of sexual ethics in our culture, but how are we doing in the church? Are we individually fleeing sexual immorality, whether pornography or private fantasies or actual illicit relationships? Remember, if we're to hold fast to the word of life, to God's own voice on these matters. Sexual activity is only permitted in the bonds of covenant marriage between one biological man and one biological woman who made vows before a holy God in the presence of witnesses, period, full stop, end of story. I say this in front of my children who are here today. I'm glad to have all of them here and all the young people in our church. This is God's standard for you. Marriage is to be celebrated between one man and one wife forever. It's blessed by God in the context of marriage. But if you've evolved in any activity other than God's word allows, flee from it right now. Like Joseph leaving his coat in Potiphar's wife's hand, turn away from it. Yes, like Joseph, it may cost you. It may cost a relationship. It may cost the scorn of the world who says to you, you know what? Everybody's doing it. It's just no big deal. But friends, it is worth it to flee from sin, to turn from it to Jesus, because he is worth it. He is the fount of every blessing, the one who was ever faithful, ever true, a very present help in our times of trouble, the one who is the bread of life, the one true vine, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. Brothers and sisters, isn't he far more, worth far more than the temporary pleasures of this world? Let's shine like stars in our sexual purity. The same is true when it comes to any other area of our lives. Paul mentions that we're not to grumble. Whoa, that one hurts, doesn't it? How the Israelites groaned and grumbled against their leaders, Aaron and Moses, and against the Lord himself for leading them out of Egypt to die in the desert without food or water. And even after the Lord provided time and time and time again, they just didn't stop until many or most of these were weeded out through plague, through fiery serpents biting and killing them, through the 40 years of wandering. But how do you and I grumble? How many of us grumble after elections when they don't turn our way? Or grumble when the weather's bad, when we're sick or suffering, or when the Lord calls us to do hard things we don't want to do, or go through periods of frustration where nothing seems to work out, or when our children or grandchildren don't make the team or win the contest or don't meet our expectations in some way, or we think they're treated unfairly in any way. We grumble and complain instead of being content, instead of resting in the Lord's good providence and trusting that these things, even the hard and bad things, work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. We're not to question or dispute his providence, are we? We're also not to dispute or grumble with one another, but instead we're to live in peace with the body, not stirring up dissension or trouble, not blaspheming God to one another or gossiping or slandering about our brothers and sisters. And when they sin, what are we supposed to do in Matthew 18? Above all, we're to pray for them. We want to desire them to grow up into maturity, but we're to confront them. We're to seek their spiritual good, desiring to see the light of Christ shine ever more brightly in their lives. And friends, that should be what we all desire, to shine Christ's light all the more fully, instead of giving into the darkness of our sins. For God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth, John tells us. Are there any areas where we're lying? Where you're lying to yourself, to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your Lord? Where you're walking in darkness, but everybody else thinks you're doing pretty well? Maybe it's sexual, maybe it's grumbling and complaining. Maybe it's greed, wanting more all the time, never being satisfied. Maybe it's anger or bitterness, holding onto a grudge that's eating you from the inside out. Maybe it's pride, exalting and serving yourself and not thinking of others. Whatever it is, Jesus is calling us today to step out of the darkness and into his light. Will you repent of your sins and turn to him today? This is what John says to those who will. It's good news. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May you be empowered today by his grace to go and sin no more. And let me say this. If you love the darkness rather than the light, if you're unwilling or unable to turn from sin, be warned. John also writes this. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Even if you profess faith in Christ and say you're a Christian, and even think that you're a Christian, but love the darkness more than the light and walk in evil deeds, it's time to examine your hearts. To make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that you won't be denied entrance into the holy city at the last day. No, I don't mean if you struggle with sin, if you're fighting it and you sometimes fall, but if you're just fine living in the shadows, if you're never convicted of your sin, if there's no shame, no guilt, no desire to turn away from it, then search your heart. Are you truly trusting in Christ? If you're not, then come out of the darkness into the marvelous light of our Lord Jesus. He is our Savior. He will hear. He will answer your prayer. He will save you from sin. And he'll give you grace to walk with him in the light of day, in newness of life. And when we do, look what happens. Not only encouraged by his light, not only are we empowered by his light, we're also emboldened by his light, because the nations are attracted to Jesus when we're walking in the light. Look what happens in verse 3. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And that's exactly what we see happening in the rest of this marvelous song. Those who were once sitting in darkness see the radiance of Zion, of the new Jerusalem of God's church. They see the light of Jesus Christ, his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his faithfulness, his perfection, his holiness. and they come streaming to him from all over. From Midian, one of Abraham's descendants through his second wife, Keturah. From Ephah, also from that line, the modern-day Yemen. And then Sheba, which is in southern Saudi Arabia now. Then Kedar and Nebaioth. And these names just go by and you're like, what in the world is all that about? Well, these are descendants of Ishmael, Abraham's son with slave woman Hagar. Do you see what's going on here? There is hope for the nations. There is hope for everyone, regardless of our backgrounds. Even if we're antagonistic against God's people, the light of Jesus will draw them in. They'll be attracted to him, and they'll bring their tribute to him as well, whether flocks and herds or precious gifts of gold and frankincense, like the Magi brought to our Lord Jesus. Even the kings who used to threaten the Lord's people, bitter enemies, will watch over and protect them like a nursing mother her children, and will bow down at our feet. They'll become our brothers and sisters, joint heirs with Jesus, and they'll worship with us in the splendor of his holiness and the light of his glory and grace. But how will our Lord accomplish this? How will he bring light to the nations? By emboldening us, you and I, to share the gospel. Yes, by living out our faith before a watching world, not hiding our light under a bushel or a basket, but by living as lampstands of his glory, but also by speaking his word, by sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Do you see how this passage emboldens us to tell others about Jesus? It reminds us of what's going to happen after Christ's resurrection and ascension, when the Spirit came upon the apostles at Pentecost so that they could take the good news to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Folks, there will be opposition. This present darkness is real. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And often it seems that Satan is winning. But here's the good news. You and I know the end of the story. How many of you, I've heard this from Sinclair Ferguson a while back, you know when you're buying a book, how many of you peek at the end to see if you really want to buy the book or not? Anybody sit there in the bookstore and kind of do that? Some people do that, some people don't. Well, here's the good news. We have the back of the book. We have the book of Revelation. We know what's going to happen. And guess what's going to happen? Jesus Christ, the light of the world, will win. Not the darkness of sin, death, Satan, and hell. He will build his church through us so that all these nations from north, south, east, and west will come streaming into the heavenly gates that will never be shut, because there'll be no more war and no more strife or anything on this earth that can harm us. We'll all be one holy, righteous nation from every tribe, tongue, and people, bringing their tribute, their glory, their honor, their sacrifices of praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the everlasting light of the world, not to the temple in Jerusalem, because it won't exist anymore. It doesn't even now in any spiritual sense. Not to the church of Jesus Christ, for the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. So be emboldened to share the gospel. Be emboldened to give toward missions. Be emboldened to pray for our missionaries and church planters and RUF campus ministers as we take together the gospel to the nations. Listen, there's no doubt that it seems we're surrounded by darkness. But be encouraged today by the light of his presence. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is with us. Be empowered by the light of his grace. He's defeating the darkness of sin within you and within me. And be emboldened by the light of his attractiveness. You see, the darkness covering this world will not win. As we witness to the light, he will dispel the darkness and draw his people from all over the world to himself. And we will together dwell in the glorious light of our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we need your light today. The light of life, the light of love, the light of hope, the light of Jesus. Would we be assured of his presence, not only as we gather here today, but also as we go from here, knowing that he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, that he's with us even to the end of the age. And may we be assured that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Thank you that Jesus, the light of the world, has overcome all the works of the devil and his demons, and that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord of glory. And may we look forward to dwelling with him and you and your glorious Holy Spirit and your heavenly kingdom of light forever and ever. And Father, how we pray, how we plead for the light of holiness in our church, that you would transform us into your glorious image, that you would make us shine as the stars in the heavens, instead of conforming to this twisted and crooked generation. Make us pure, O Lord. Give us your power to flee sexual immorality in all of its forms. May we be holy as you are holy. Empower us by your grace to walk in step with the Spirit and in newness of life. Father, we pray for our families. We pray that you would protect our marriages. We pray that you would keep our covenant children pure and close to your heart, that they might walk worthy of you in wisdom. Would you convert those who don't yet know you? Would you help us to live out the gospel as husbands love their wives, as Christ loved his church, and as wives submit to their husbands and fulfill their vital role as helpmates? May our parents not provoke their children to wrath, but may they bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Oh, Father, we pray that you would embolden us toward evangelism, knowing that you will draw the nations to the light of your Son, Jesus, for his name is wonderful, his grace is glorious, his love is everlasting, and he is what our families, our community, our state, our nation, and our world needs above all else. May we not be timid, but may we, with confidence and with boldness, share his good news with those sitting in darkness, because we know that the light has come, and his name is Jesus. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. It's our privilege now.